We're basically going to carry on where we left off. I'd introduced a bit of, well, I guess some ideas for how to spend time in personal study, how to spend time reading God's words. I really kind of struggled with what to do for the next bit, because obviously the thing that you need to do after something like that is to put it into practice. It's not enough just to have a bunch of ideas and to have a flow chart and to think, okay, this is in theory how I should spend my time reading the Bible. But at the same time, knowing that we would only have about 15 minutes for an exercise, I didn't want to suggest that you can do 3 hours of prep in 15 minutes, actually, if you work really hard, because this is slow work. Like, I think you're only going to really be able to put this into practice in a worked exercise when you go home and start sitting down and grappling with these things. However, I think it would be helpful to do some kind of an example, some kind of an exercise. So I've tried to map one out on the handout. Using the suggested stages above, try to map out your prep time for John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. If you're not going to be leading John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, it's great. You get a chance to get into it. If you are, then bonus. You've mapped out some of your prep time in advance. There isn't really a right and wrong here. It's just a chance to think through some questions that you might consider under the different headings that I've given. But I'd also like you to weigh up which questions are worth spending most time on, which are the ones that you'll want to spend 20 minutes on, which are the ones you'll maybe just spend 1 minute on. And if you get a chance, try and allocate rough timings. You could even split your prep up into like 3 different sessions of however long. Does that make sense as an exercise? Any questions? Great. Try do it in groups with whoever you've been chatting to, 2s or 3s or 4s or whatever you feel like. We've got about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes for that. Let's come back together. Paul Wong is doing a great grin, which I think means I'm ready to come back and participate. Or maybe you've just been sitting grinning like that for the last 15 minutes and have noticed. Cool. We've probably had lots of discussion. We're not going to feedback on all of it, but maybe if a few people could share your top question or your top questions that you thought would be really useful to spend time on in your personal study, or any other inspirations that you had while doing that exercise, any things that it helped you with. Does anyone have anything they think it'd be useful to share with everyone? Any surprises in the story? Is that? Tell me more about why you think that would be a useful thing to spend time on.
Well, I think firstly, it just helps us to slow down and to think about each element of the story. Why the authors put it there?
Can you speak a bit louder?
just help us to slow down reading and then think about each element in the story. Why does the author put them there?
Great. Thanks, Will.
Another question could be, what does the sign point us to?
What does the sign point us to?
And this potentially could make us to flip our Old Testament. And because there are only 7 signs in John, and this is one of it. So why John recorded this sign out of so many signs, and
wants
to point us to.
Yeah, how long do you think it might take you to consider that question, given that it has all these
7% of the time. That's too much. 15 or
like not a percentage, like a number of minutes. This isn't a like right or wrong, but just an idea of how long you think it might take you. I mean, 3 hours isn't like something to aim for. It's an idea. You might spend 10 hours.
About
30 minutes.
Maybe, including Old Testament
and understand your Old Testament. Yeah, great. I think it just shows that a question like that sounds quite simple, but actually there's so much depth to it and different angles you can think about it from and different things you bring in. So, yeah, one simple question can take a long time. Anything else? George?
I think that because it's quite a short passage, almost, and it's a passage that lots of people know and are quite familiar with, could be helpful just to start with a question like, or, I don't know if I can phrase it as a question, to start by looking at things, just looking for things that you haven't spotted before, so saying, what's this text saying that I've never seen before, as a kind of start of a 10, just to get you off. Understanding that you start with.
Yeah, great. Yeah, in some ways that's similar to Will's idea of surprises, like things I hadn't noticed before. The first thing I wrote down was mother, which I think is in your logic. Like, it's weird that Jesus' mother appears here. Maybe that's something to think about. Maybe. cool. Did anyone think it will be difficult to find enough to think about from this passage? Okay, well that's good, that's encouraging. Like hopefully you might even be starting to think, gosh, 3 hours, that really could go very quickly. If one question can take half an hour, then yeah, this could take a really long time. Which is exciting, like that it's not the case that if you did John before, or if you've done overview for the last 2 years, there's nothing more to get out of this year. Like if you'd already done 3 hours of study in this passage previously, how wonderful that you have that basis to build on and to get even more deeply into what God's saying this year. We don't have much time, but I want to run through some implications for other things that we do at IGG. SLOBs, IGG study leading, and our role as co-leaders. Firstly, some implications for our SLOB studies. We'll all be part of a SLOBs group, and this is our Bible study. This is the place where we get together. Sorry, Dan's smiling at me because he's not part. You are part of it. Yeah, it's okay. Some of us are not quite part of SLOB studies. I take that back. Most of us are part of SLOB studies. This is your Bible study. This is the place where you get a chance to think about the Bible with other people and to speak about the Bible with other people. And so it's kind of obvious, but the more time we've spent preparing, the more meaningful that time is going to be. It's going to be a better time to serve each other, to hear God speak together. It's just good to remind each other that the point of SLOBs is not to get the right answer, to be the one who guessed what your SLOBs leader was thinking. It's also not about being the one who wins, the one whose ideas get applied at the end. It's about helping each other hear God speak clearly, to think about that together and respond together. I guess similarly, that's then what we bring on to IGG leading. As we lead our studies, we're giving people a chance to think about God's word together and to speak to each other about what God's saying so that it can change us. I said before that I think the outline that I've given us for our own personal study could also be useful as we think about how to plan a Bible study, how to plan the time that we spend on Wednesday evenings. But you might think, hang on, if that could take us more than 3 hours, how are we going to fit it into, well, basically an hour on Wednesday evenings? There's probably an hour and 15 minutes that you've got with your groups on Wednesday evenings. 5 minutes of that will probably be lost in faff or someone going to the toilet or someone's phone ringing or something. Hopefully a good chunk of that will be spent in prayer. The time that you will actually be spending grappling with God's word may end up being less than an hour. So how are you actually going to have a good conversation and make progress together? I think that's why we also think that group members doing personal study before IGG is so important. I've written group prep in my notes and I've put it in bold and I've underlined it and italicized it. Group members doing prep is so important. It's also probably not something that they're expecting to do. There isn't time now to talk about all the things that we might be able to do to excite group members about doing prep and to help them see how to do it. But I'd love it if that's a question that you guys take away and think about in your slub groups, think about in your leading pairs, think about, especially in the first few studies, how to lead studies that equip the group to do their own personal study, that set expectations for that and help them see the value of doing that. I think our journals, our prep journals, are really useful for that. If a group member has a journal, they'll see there's a lot of blank space, and that's not for them to write down all the amazing things that you, their leader, will say during the study. That's mostly for them to do their own work in advance. Michelle, when will we first be giving people the opportunity to buy those? No, I don't mean us. I mean group members, the welcome party on the 25th. Great. So if you already know people in your group, or if you meet people who are new at the welcome party, do encourage them to get a journal as soon as possible and start using that. I thought we could have a little discussion on how to map out a potential Bible study on that passage using those headings. We've got about 4 minutes to do that in. I think it's worth starting the process. You probably find it frustratingly short, but that's okay. It's a start that we can continue. So maybe just, using the questions that you just found useful to think about yourself in your personal study, think about how you might map that onto a Bible study that you're leading, some questions that you might get group members to discuss. Great, let's come back together. That was probably a frustratingly short amount of time, but hopefully a bit of a start to get thinking about this kind of thing. And I guess it's helpful just to keep kind of coming back to what we said at the start about God speaking through human authors with a particular purpose. So as you do your own study, as you lead a group study, hopefully you'll talk about all kinds of things and have a fun discussion, have an open discussion, but remembering the big thing that you spent time working on in your personal study, the thing that you kind of narrowed down as the main point in your prep, spending some time at least making sure that the group see the importance of that thing and respond in light of that thing. There's so much more to say on leading Bible studies, which is why this time last year we had a whole session on it. I've put a link to that on the handout. This book is really, really helpful. If you want to borrow it from me right now, the first person to put their hand up can. I also have loads of copies of it. You can buy one from me. Or if I really like you, I'll give it to you. Don't test that one. Cool. I think it'd be useful to say something on co-leading, because most of us have got a co-leader, which is a great thing. And you might be thinking, that's wonderful. That means I only need to work really hard on the passage every second week, because I'm only leading a study every second week. You might be a bit confused. Why are we expecting you to do this prep for every passage, not only the ones that you're leading? Another little discussion now to help us see the importance of having a co-leader who has worked really hard at studying the passage that you are leading. Maybe if this side of the room talks about the positive scenario, imagine that your co-leader has thoroughly prepared the passage that you're leading. How might this help you? And you guys can do the nightmare scenario. Imagine your co-leader has done no personal study on the passage that you're leading. How might this hinder you? Does that make sense? Great. A few questions to discuss those scenarios. I think rather than taking separately the dream and the nightmare scenarios, let's think through how both help us with understanding a co-leader's role before, during, and after the study. Let's start with before. Why would a well-prepared co-leader be either useful or unuseful before the study? Is that not a word? It's not a word. I just used it. Useless. That's a word. Why might that be the case?
I found it really helpful last year, when I give my questions to my co-leader beforehand, just to get some feedback on my questions. And then they would say, oh, actually, your third question is good, but actually there's a better way to ask that. to flesh out something as part of the purpose.
Yeah, great. Co-leaders can help you make your study a better study. What if they haven't thought about the passage? Why might that hinder them? Yeah, great. So moving on to during the study, yeah, they'll not help you to guide the study in the direction you want it to go. Anything else that might be either helpless or helpful during the study?
We were saying that if your co-leader is prepped thoroughly themselves, you can use fewer, bigger questions because you won't have to kind of give them handrails.
Mm. Yeah, does everyone understand what Rachel's saying? I think that's really important. Do you mean like you don't need to tell your co-leader this is exactly where I want to go with everything because they know.
They've already. Just rather than having, you know, 20 tiny questions on your sheet, you can have 5 big ones.
Mm.
So you can be confident your co-leader can cope with that
if they
don't have prep.
Yeah, great.
If they've not prepped and they haven't talked to you about the study, then your co-leader is more likely to hurt you when they're trying to help you.
Yeah, what might that look like?
So as in, you get stuck, and you don't know what the next thing to do is, so the co-leader decides, right, I'm going to jump in here, which in and of itself can be a really helpful thing, but then I take it in a direction that is not where Jamie had planned to go, or whatever, and so by the end of 5 minutes of me, the group are now very clear, also, which was not in fact the thing that we're trying to look at.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, great. So it's not that any co-leader contribution is a helpful contribution. And the better they've prepared the passage, the more likely they are to be useful, but also the better they've prepared the study with you. So that's why we encourage you to send your study to your co-leader in advance, like not just on Wednesday evening, and to give each other feedback, as Dorothy was mentioning, to talk about it together and just make sure you're on the same page. If your co-leader sees your study and thinks, actually, I don't really agree with that, it's okay to say that, but to have that discussion well in advance of the study so that you can, you know, maybe actually they're right and it's really useful. You can change your emphasis in light of what they've said. But if they only tell you that during the study, it's so destructive because they've just undermined you and everyone's sad.
So last year I was leading with Matt, and we used to meet with Jenny every Friday lunchtime. I would have slots on Sunday morning. And basically, both of us used to come with sort of the bones of a study as like maybe the 4 or 5 questions that we thought we should ask, but not more than that. And then we basically used to Matt and I, with often with Jenny as well, used to discuss together how we thought the best way to do a study was. So we actually wrote the study together, really, and then have our sort of 5 or 6 question study. That, you know, that, so then Nat really did understand what I was asking because we'd done it together, and then likewise, you know, I understood where she was going because we talked together about how it's going to work. I think if you write like a 20-question study, that's quite hard to do. But if you write a study where you've got 5 or 6, and actually you can kind of basically do it together.
Yeah, that's helpful. And if you think there's no way I can be in the same place as my co-leader to have that conversation, we live in a world of phones and Skypes, and it's easy to have a conversation, so do. Anything on after the study where a well-prepared co-leader can be useful?
We were just saying that it's a kind of a basic loving your group thing as well, that after the study, every week, whether you're leading or not, you want to be exhorting and teaching and training your group with the Lord's Word. You can't do that unless about it thoroughly so that you know how you're able to do that.
Yeah. So that when they're meeting up with someone in the group to pray through what they're learning, they actually have thought about it. For them writing their own study the following week, it's probably useful that they're familiar with the context And they can reflect on the study thoughtfully with you and help you lead better studies in the future. So many good things. So many things your co-leader could do well. I guess, you know, go and do as you would be done by as you seek to serve your co-leader. Maybe a tiny bit of time for questions, like a really tiny amount of time. But do anyone have any questions on anything that we've just talked about? That's great. I've scared you off asking questions by telling you it's a tiny time. That's good. That means we can end the session for the last 4 minutes. Turn to the person next to you. Maybe share something that you're keen to try from this session, or a prayer request, and then pray together in small groups. If you're leaving at 12:15, it will be a very short prayer. But even still, take some time to share something that you want to try, something you want to pray about, and spend some time praying.